All right, let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come here tonight, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the powerful gift that you've given us and the freedom that you've given us, Lord, to come here, Lord. Lord, we thank you for putting your love on us and sending your Son to die on the cross for us. Lord, we ask that you would please help these words to go into people's hearts. And please help me just speak it truthfully, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, our topic for tonight is overcoming the world with God's love. If you would turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. We're just going to be focusing on verse 4 and 5, but we're going to read through 1 through 12. Give me 1 second. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with water only, but with water and with the blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that bear witness, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And the three are in agreement. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For the witness of God is this, that he has borne witness concerning his Son. The one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. The one who does not believe, God has made him a liar. God has made him a liar because he has not believed in the witness that God has borne concerning his Son. And the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. All right, let's go back to verse 4 and 5, because that's what we're going to be focusing on. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Some other verses that we can go along with is 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is begotten of God and knoweth God. And as we're talking about God, we overcome the world through God's love, meaning that we turn from temptation. We go the opposite direction. And as always, we fall, but that's no excuse, as Pastor Brandon was talking about earlier this evening. Another, let's go through 4 through 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is begotten of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Herein was the love of God manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And those are also a match to verse 5, chapter 5, 1b through 5. All right, our first part of this will be, God grants us love to overcome the world. Overcoming the world is hard if we don't test the spirits. That is found in 1 John 4, 2-3. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess not Jesus is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it cometh, and now it is in the world already. So what this is really speaking about is how we need to really see if the teachers out there in the world are really teaching from the Word of God. And that's going to help us really overcome the world from what they're teaching. Because really the Bible is God's love spoken out to us, and His commandments and everything are from His love. And that really just brings it out to you that, you know, you need God's love to believe in the Son, and you need God's love to go to heaven. And that really helps you overcome the world, because the world, as we know, is going to hell. And when we have God's love and we believe in His Son, we won't go to hell, because we have eternal life through Him. And then another point is 1 John 4:17. Herein is love made perfect with us, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as He is, even so are we in this world. So Jesus Christ came into this world, and He lived a perfect life. And so we are to abide by what He lived. We are to try to live the perfect life. Now, I'm not saying we can, because in the Bible it definitely says that we can't be perfect. But it is a thing to try to consider, that we need to try our hardest to be perfect in all that we do. And 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath punishment, and the one who fears is not perfect in love. And that's really talking about the fear of, you're scared. You don't want to go out and make disciples. You don't want to speak the gospel. You don't want to, you know, show your faith to others. You're scared to be condemned. Not be persecuted, like Paul and like Peter were in Jesus Christ. Our second point is on the act of overcoming the world. 1 John 5:5. And who is the one that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And this is really when we trust in the Lord and keep His commandments, that is the act of overcoming the world. And so we can go to verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. So as Pastor Brandon taught on that a few weeks ago, the commandments should not weigh us down. We shouldn't always be like the Jews were. If you didn't do this, you couldn't get into heaven. If you did that, you couldn't get into heaven. You had to keep all the commandments to go to heaven. I have a thing here from William Burkett. It's Notes on the New Testament. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? That faith which overcomes the world is faith in the divinity and sonship of Jesus Christ. We overcome the world by believing in Him that overcame it, even Jesus Christ, who hath purchased, promised, and prepared a better world than what we do see or can see with our bodily eyes, and has made us heirs of eternal glory. And that really spoke out to me, because it talks about how our faith comes into this. Because we have to have faith in Jesus Christ. We have to, you know, we have to have faith to love God. We have to have faith to abide in His commandments. We have to have faith to not see that they're burdensome. And that really brings us to Jesus Christ living like Him, because He didn't think the commandments were burdensome. He lived a perfect life and everything. And so, let's go back to the act of overcoming the world. The act is really meaning that, I mean, you're not perfect, but you need to, you know, stand up for what you believe in. You can't go out into the world and act like them. You have to be set apart. You have to go out and be and disciple to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 13, 12 through 14 says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people through His own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us therefore go forth unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. For we have not here an abiding city, but we seek after the city which is to come." And that really just says flat out that you don't need to worry about where you are in the world, what the world thinks of you. You need to think of, are you going to heaven? Are you going to be with Christ? Are you living like Christ would want you to? We can go to 1 John 5:1. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is begotten of God, and whosoever loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him." And that's really talking about, if we love Him, we're with Him. We are going to heaven with Him. We are going to be in the new world. 1 John 5:2. "Hereby we know that we love the children of God when we love God and do His commandments." And that's, again, living like Christ would want us to live, and trying to live the perfect life just like Christ. 1 John 5:3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." And as I said, we need to not think of the commandments as burdensome, just like, oh, I didn't keep this commandment, or, oh, I really don't want to keep this commandment. It weighs a lot on me. I mean, it keeps me from being with my friends. You need to not look on that. You need to look at it as, you know, should I do this, or should I sin and go be with my friends, or should I, like, obey my parents, or go to church, or read my Bible? 1 John 5:6, "This is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not with water only, but with water and with blood." And that's how He will return, with water and with blood. The water is like the flesh, and the blood would be, you know, His perfect God form in it. 1 John 5:7, "And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is the truth." And so that's why we need to test the spirits, really, because if we don't test the spirits, then we don't know if they're true, and the Spirit of God will tell the truth and will bring us to Jesus Christ, which will take us to heaven. And then 1 John 5:8, "For there are three who bear witness, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and the three agree in one." And really, that would be saying that the Spirit goes to the person, which is the flesh, and then that person goes to Christ, if they are chosen, goes to Christ, which is the blood. And then they all, you know, agree with each other, and that person will have eternal life. 1 John 5:9, "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For the witness of God is this, that he hath borne witness concerning his Son. What that's telling is, don't really believe the witness of man. Believe what God has witnessed and what he says is the truth. 1 John 5:10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in him. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he hath not believed in the witness that God hath borne concerning his Son. And really what that's saying is that you don't believe in the Son, and you're saying that God is a liar. When he tries to come in, you're saying that he's a liar and that, you know, his Son didn't really come. He doesn't really love us. He wants us to go to hell. And then 1 John 5:11, and the witness is this, that God gave unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And I was saying earlier, we can't go into heaven without the Son. So the life would be eternal life with Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:12. He that hath the Son hath the life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not the life. So that goes back to all these other verses saying, if you keep the commandments and you love God, then you love his Son. The witness of God is in you. You have the Spirit, water, and the blood inside you. And then you will go to heaven. And you will have overcome the world. And that's all.
Do you want me to just keep this on?
Okay, so thank you very much, Chris. Appreciate it. It's not very easy to come up here and bring a lesson, especially when it's to your own peers. So we praise God for Chris and his diligent time of studying to bring us the word. Thank you, Chris. Keep going, young brother. Okay. Just a few things that he talked on that we've been learning in 1 John. Again, that in ourselves we have nothing to overcome the world here but weak, frail sinners. If left up to us, we would fall and fail miserably and would wind up in hell. But thanks be to God who is our overcomer, is our strength, is our salvation, is our King and Savior. And in him we have victory. We are to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, mind, and strength, and to love each other. Something real quick. If you turn to Psalms chapter 5. Pastor Tim was preaching on this Wednesday night, and it was really, really good. Chris talked a little bit about living the perfect life, or being perfect as Christ was. In fact, Jesus tells us in his own words, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, I ask you, can anyone in here live a perfect life? No. Like I said earlier, daily we fall. Daily we sin. Even in our own thoughts, we are full of sin. Okay? So I want to read the Psalms here real quick. Psalms 5. To the chief musician with flutes, a psalm of David. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. Stop there. Here David has a prayer. Okay? First thing in the morning, what is he doing? He's praying. O God, take heed to my word. Wouldn't it be nice if first thing we wake up and we're meditating on God, we're thinking upon Him? God, you have given me another night's rest. I've woken up another day of life. You are so good. You are so merciful to give me another day of life. Help me this day, O Lord, that I might not sin against you. Give me strength this day, my God and my Lord. Help me to please you in my thoughts. Help me to please you in my words. Help me to please you in my actions. Shouldn't that be our prayer in the morning when we arise? And throughout the day? And when we lay our heads on the pillow to go to sleep? Should we not ponder our God and pray to Him and cry out to Him? Yes. And then verse 4 here, listen to what he says. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. So many times, our flesh, which is full of wickedness and sin and evil, right? The very thing that we are trying to overcome, our flesh, we can only come when we are walking in the Spirit, right? Through His strength. You are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. God hates wickedness. God hates evil. That's why we are told to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And though we can't achieve it in ourselves, God can and has. And so daily we strive for it. Daily we strive to be like Christ. We strive to be perfect, right? What is our goal? To be like Christ. That is our goal. To be perfect like Christ. We will fall. We will stumble. We will hit a rock and hurt our knee. But we get up and keep going because God is not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. And so when we fall and stumble and think evil or say evil or do evil, we repent because it offends our holy God. Sin is not a sin just against our parents or against each other. But when we sin, we offend our holy God who is just and perfect and demands righteousness. And so we offend God when we sin. All of us. And so this really hit me Wednesday night, that God does not take pleasure in wickedness. And I need to combat my flesh all the more. I need to combat my temptations that I'm bombarded with all the more. I need to be going to war vigorously, with a plan, and all out, right? For I serve a God who hates my sin. I serve a God who wants me to live a righteous life. I serve a God who wants all of me. He is jealous for me and for you, and He demands righteous living from us. Amen? So again, thank you, Chris. Keep going. Okay? It's not easy to get up here. Okay? And you, all of you, are our future leaders, future teachers. You young ladies are going to be older one day. And you're going to be hopefully mature enough to teach those young ladies under you in Wednesday night adventures class, Sunday school classes, in the women's ministry. You're going to have a responsibility to teach other women. So grow can be mature now, right? You young men, you're going to be the leaders of the church. Start now. Prepare now. You too can teach an adventures class, a Sunday school class, that you'll be youth leaders. I won't be here forever. Who's being built up? Who's going to be a preacher here on Friday nights teaching the youth? Who's going to be upstairs on the Sunday morning proclaiming the Word of God to the congregation to edify and build us up? Who's going to teach Pastor Sean's class? Who's going to have a class down here that we have to figure out a way to fit all these people? You young men, falls on your shoulders. Train yourself now. Combat in your war now. Amen? Let's pray. Again, our gracious Lord, we thank you, and we are so thankful that you have saved us, that you have called us out from death and darkness, where destruction was due us. The wrath of God was justly due us for our sins. But Jesus paid that price and fulfilled the wrath of God. We thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for our sins. May we never take that lightly. May we never forget of his perfect work on the cross, his suffering for us, for our sins, that we too can have life, eternal life, to serve our God, to love him, and to love each other. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for being our strength to overcome the world. And it's in your precious name that we can approach God and pray. Amen. All right, thank you so much for coming. And we need to finish setting up. And Jeremy's going to lead us one more song. What I forget.